Last week, we finished up Christmas in July because we're now in August. It's August 1st. Flip your calendars. And as of last week, the total was almost $2,000 that came in from Christmas in July. And that's not counting those that have given online and credit cards because it takes a couple of days. So we'll have a more accurate account. But someone says, well, gosh, that's a lot of money. Yeah, that's a lot of money and for kids. And, you know, normally it's about giving a gift. And I was thinking, man, we can bless them maybe with an outfit because they have been without for a year and a half. 80% of Jamaica operates by the travel industry. So that shut down, all right? So we get to be a big blessing. And also I was thinking maybe what we'll do is, and by the way, I'll be talking to Miss Mary Holland. What does the school need? You know, what does the school need? So anyway, I'm excited. I had a good time. What else did I write? Okay, I wrote down some things. Last week in my rush to finish, I forgot to say, so we were talking about who are you, and I printed up a list of scriptures on who are you. They are in the back on the coffee care and connect. I found out this new generation, they just walk up and they do. I said, so if you want to walk up to the paper and do that, go ahead and take it home. Or if you're like me, I take this home and I read them and I go look up the scriptures. So this is there for you from last week because I forgot to tell you about that. All right, let me get situated. Here we go. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come to you and we thank you that we are the redeemed. We thank you that we are your children, that we are seated in heavenly places. We thank you that we have your ear because you made a way for us to come into your presence through your son Jesus. And we thank you today we have ears to hear from heaven. And we are asking, you said to ask, so we are asking for revelation of the truths of who we are and where you want to get us to and all the things you have for us. So we say thank you, we hear, and then when we leave, we obey. And I thank you for everybody here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're doing a series called Identity 101, and it's really just an intro to your identity. Ta-da! So week number one, we talked about who you were before Jesus. And we all, that is like the first block when you lay the foundation on a house. So you have to know who you were before. And last week we talked about who are you. And if you were not able to be with us, go online, go on whatever. What are all the ways you can listen to us? Just go ahead and listen to us, all right? It's really good. Not us, but the word, all right? But last week I wrapped up saying this and I said, hey, jot this down. And if you didn't get a chance, write this down today. Here we go. Ready? The Christian identity is the only identity that you simply receive. You don't have to achieve something, meaning that the day you received Jesus, you didn't have to work for it. You weren't good enough, fat enough, skinny enough to deserve it. You simply receive it, all right? There's no achieving it. And that is amazing. That is amazing because I found out I'm not that amazing that I could obtain it, okay? And God just said, hey, this Christian identity, this who you are, you just receive it. You just receive it. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit. The last couple weeks we were talking about identity, and we said identity, that word is like the hot topic in the world, on the planet, in the culture, identity. And then just to be really frank, there's two identities that are like the hot topic. And last week we talked about race identity, and we said in Matthew 24, if you just want to write that down, you can read it yourselves, but in Matthew 24, Jesus said, in the days that you're living in, before I return, he said, nation will rise up against nation. And if you look up that word in the Greek, it really means ethnic group or race will rise up against race. Jesus says before he returns, that's what's going to happen. All right, now, in the culture is trying to fix that. But the problem, the way they're fixing it is they are pushing and making it worse. They are causing a bigger division. It is not being fixed. And go, yeah, amen. Pastor D, just stay on track. Okay, so the world and the culture is trying to, it, just making it worse. Okay, but guys, we are the church. We are Christians. We're called the church, and the church is supposed to be the hope for the world, right? So the church is the place where race comes together, where we love one another, where we work with one another, we get along with one another, okay? And not cause all sorts of division. And it is happening. It is in the church, but the world just is doing it another way. So that race identity is a hot topic in our culture. The other hot topic is gender identity. And it is a biggie. And if you are a young person, you're in school, man, it is a challenge for your kids and university kids with this gender identity because of this. Okay? Because of this. And you know what it is? It is, they're on that. I'm on that, but your kids are on that, and they're on that trying to find out their identity, all right? Well, and at first it's just a little of this, but this is where people in your youth are getting their identity. And I really believe in the day and the hour that we are living in, God wants to reveal who you really are. Not that. So what the enemy's done is he's twisted the truth about who you are. Everybody say, he's twisted it. Yeah, he really has. He's just twisted it. And this is how your kids, and anybody really. Ooh. And you know, I'm so young, but this is all that this was for. You know, I'm just talking to somebody. No, now, this is where you gather information, all right? So, can I say this, though? If you're a father, you have a voice that is so vital to your kids. It is absolutely, they've done studies that say a dad's voice is extremely important. Matter of fact, the most important. Now, that's not to say mamas are not incredible. I am incredible, and my voice counts, okay? But the studies are showing dads, fathers, your voice into your kids is so valuable. It's so valuable. So let me say this also. Look around. Go this way. There's a lot of different generations sitting here, right? All right? Now, in case you have never wandered down these stairs, but downstairs we have youth. We have kids. We got preschool. We got babies. We got a lot of different age groups downstairs. Anybody ever venture downstairs? Well, just look at the stampede out of here, right? We got this thing going on here. And then you're like, what? All right? So the thing about that is there's all different generations down there. And I probably don't say this often enough, but we got amazing children's ministers, amazing youth ministers, amazing nursery people downstairs, amazing. I don't say that, but man, they're just amazing. And some of them have been there week after week, year after year. Anybody been there year after year? Yeah, we signed you up for life. But they do that, and probably one of the biggest complaints, Pastor D, we didn't get enough time to pour into your kids. It's just a smidgen, all right? So they only get there here. But here's the thing. After that, kids are doing this, getting their information. So turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is the Apostle Paul, and he has something to say about it, the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10. He says, so many kinds of voices in the world. How many of you would agree there's a lot of voices in the world? Okay, and it's not just you're in my face, it's this stuff. There's voices in the world, okay? So if you're a parent, even a grandparent, okay, your kids are in school, and now not just kids with them in school, but now they've got teachers and they've got curriculum. And it may not be in your school district, but there's a lot of districts where they are teaching your kids gender identity. Like, this is what you need to believe. This is who you are, okay? And then they spend hours, you know, like this. So what do you do? Well, don't take their phone away. I'll say something about that in a minute, but Here's the question. Write this down. What voices are you listening to? And you know, we can be doing that to your kid, but that's a question to you. What voices are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? So the rest of that scripture said, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification, okay? So they're all significant. All these voices are significant, okay? But if you're listening to that this voice of what you're watching, you know what's going to happen is, if that's where you're going, you're spending all your time, that's the voice that you're going to follow. Because you have just saturated yourself with that, all right? So I can't remember if this was a commercial I saw about a month ago or an advertisement, probably doing this. Okay, I was doing this. And it says, live your truth. Live your truth. And that's sort of what the culture's pushing. Hey, live your truth, okay? But what happens if my truth doesn't line up with this? What happens? Well, just open your eyes, okay? So live your truth, all right? And you know, I lived my truth before I received Jesus. I lived what I thought was my truth. But if you're a Christian now, you're now a believer, you now ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, if that's who you are now, listen, if your truth doesn't line up with this, you need to make some adjustments. This is where you're going to find the truth. This is where you're going to find the truth of who you are, gender identity, race identity. And I went through a whole bunch of things. This is where you're going to find the truth. So the big question is, whose voice are you listening to, right? Whose voice, okay? And I know you're probably, you know, as a parent, give me your phone. I'm locking you in it in a closet. I'm locking your phone up and I'm locking you in a closet, all right? You just want to take it away. But that's probably not the best answer all the time. Though, I have taken phones away for a season. Until we had to get some adjustments going on, all right? But you know what's really better? Have a conversation with your kid. Have a conversation with yourself, all right? Start, you know, to always start out, you know, the mama speech. You and we just love you. We love you. We just want to help you live your best life. You know how your parents give you that opening statement. You're like, oh, our eyeballs rolling, okay. But seriously, have some conversations with your kid. Say, hey, you know, what do you think about those hot topics, okay? So you're coming in. Don't point your finger at them, but you're just coming in, asking questions, and let them talk to you. Let them talk to you. And then don't beat them up, but say, hey, why don't we just open up what the Bible says, okay? Praise God. So that was just the beginning. That was just free. All of that I said for free. You ready to get busy now? Okay, the title of the message is called The New You in Christ. Or better yet, let's make it simple. The New Me. Everybody say The New Me. Title of the message, okay? Now, I didn't know the new me. I didn't know who I was in Christ when I accepted Jesus back in college. I just prayed a prayer. I was like clueless, okay? But here's what happens. Guess what? It took me about 6 months till I got a Bible. Good thing. Get a Bible after you receive Jesus, okay? I got a Bible, okay? And then I started coming to church, and I started hearing the Word. And I was reading my Bible. And then I went to a grow group, and I started hearing about the Word, okay? And you know what happens? I got introduced to who I was in Jesus, okay? That's how you get introduced, okay? And the only way you're going to get introduced to the new me, the new you, is this, okay? Now, it's great. Please keep coming, all right? You're going to hear some things, all right? That's good, but this is good too. This is better, okay? And that's why we give you... Today, I don't even have 10 scriptures to give you. Usually, I'm like, write this down, 10 scriptures, okay? I got about 3 biggies, all right? But anyway, this is how you get introduced, okay? Now, if you're like, what do you mean, Pastor D, the new you? Okay, the new you is... the you that you are in Christ. Now, everybody knows the old you. Everybody know your old you? Okay, some of you people know the old you, all right? And okay, that's who you were before. That's what you did before. The new you is who you now are in Christ, all right? So today we're going to talk about, just shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk about identity changes. Not identity theft, but identity changes. And we're going to see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the way God would do it is he would change people's names. He would change people's names to get them to go in a certain direction, to get them to go to their destiny. Now, I have to say this. After church, we are not having a name-changing service. Okay? I'm not doing that. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about how God would change names of people in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Covenant, now that Jesus has died on the cross and has risen and seated up in heaven, okay, he doesn't change it that way. Listen, you get your change by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how you're going to find out your change, and you're going to find out the change started on the inside and is working on the outside. The change is after you receive Jesus, and it starts on the inside, and it starts working on the outside. And we'll talk more about that. But in the Old Testament, God would change people's names. And it's not because they had a cruddy name. It's not because their name was bad or anything. But again, he wanted them to go in a different direction, all right? And one of the guys is Jacob. Anybody remember the story about Jacob in the Old Testament, okay? Jacob, he was kind of messed up there for a while, okay? Anybody identify with that? Oh, he was messed up for a while. Okay, he was kind of messed up for a while, all right? And his name really wasn't that good, and God gives him a name change, all right? And now, he stole his brother's birthright. Now, some of you are like, well, big deal. Just go buy another one. Oh, no. Listen, in the Old Testament, the birthright, the oldest son's birthright, the blessings and the blessings and the blessings, woo, that was really important. And he went and stole it, all right? So he stole his brother's birthright, and his name, Jacob, meant deceiver. Deceiver, because he was a liar and a cheater and deception. He's just a deceiver. And God says, Jacob, I'm going to change your name now to Israel. And it's not like the nation of Israel, but let me tell you what the name, his changed name is. Israel means one who is triumph with God and with man. One who prevails with God because he's called the contender. And what happened is, in the process of getting his name changed, he wrestled with an angel. All right, so he's one who is triumph with man and with God, all right? So now, all of a sudden, God changes his name. Why? Because he's going, Jacob, that is who you were, but this is who you are now. That is why God changed his name, changed his direction, changed his life, okay? So, question, what name do you go by? I go by D. If someone would say, hey, D, I'd go, oh. They're calling my name, all right? So y'all have a name. Now, back in the day, if my mom called my name, antennas up, and listen, if she did the formal one, Davida Marie, that's my reform, you heard that. You knew, you better come running. Anybody you get the mama call you that? Okay, yeah, okay. So here's my question to you. You have a name, but how many of you go by labels that maybe somebody slapped on you, and you're going by that? Or here's this one. How about you've slapped on a label on yourself? I'm a divorcee. I'm an addict. I'm a poor widow, okay? Maybe we do that, okay? But here's the thing. God wants you to be called by a new name and a new identity, and you need to find it. And we'll get to that in a moment, okay? So, Old Testament. Everybody know Abraham? Originally, he was Abram, and his Abram just meant father, and then God changed his name to Abraham, father of many nations. You talk about how his life direction changed, right? So y'all know that one. How about this one? okay, switch New Testament. How about this one? We have Simon changed to Peter, okay? Now, Simon is not a bad name. I actually know two people whose name is Simon. I like the name Simon. Simon's not a bad name. But listen what happened. Simon had an encounter with a revelation of who Jesus was. And Jesus says, Simon, from now on, your name is going to be Peter. Okay, Simon means reed, you know, a little reed. Peter means rock. We have a movie star called The Rock. I'd like to be called The Rock. Wouldn't you rock, reed? Which one do you want? Okay, rock, right? By the way, he's got a new movie coming out. I'm going to go to it. It's so cute. All right. So why did Jesus change his name? He wanted him to go in a different direction, a different destiny. How about, better yet, even a new revelation of a relationship. That's why Jesus changed his name, okay? Here's another guy, Paul and Saul. Okay, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, was called Saul. And one day, Saul is on his horse riding, and Jesus knocks him to the ground, all right? And God says to him, Saul, oh, let me back up. By the way, Saul was running around killing Christians. What a great old boy, right? And put locking them up. And he thought he was doing God a favor. All right, so now, then he's on the horse and God knocks him down and God says, Saul, I'm changing your name to Paul, all right? Now, I got to tell you a little bit about this guy, Saul. He was pretty prideful and arrogant. He actually says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm educated. I am something, all right? Later on, he says, that is just nothing. But the reason why is he was like that. And God says, I'm going to change your name to Paul. And Paul means humble one. And God needed to, the name change, big purpose, okay? Listen, you can't be big in your own britches, buddy. You need to be a humble one because I am going to use you to change the world. All right? Amen? Okay, so you kind of got the idea about name changes, okay? So God has people's names changed because he wants to change their direction. He wants to change their destiny, all right? So he changes their name, and they were going this way, and then he changes their name so they can start going this way, all right? And you might be here thinking, I hate my name. How many people hate their name? Usually it's like half the people, they hate their name. But listen, I just wish I could have my name changed. I'm not going to change your name. And I just want to tell you, because this has happened before, not in this place. Well, yeah, it was, but not anymore. If someone comes up and says, thus saith the Lord, Miss Denise, your name is to be changed to Susie Q, okay, whatever. Don't listen to that, okay? It's not, it's just, you know, and praise God. All right, here. Okay, so where was I going with that? All right, here's why we don't do that. You get a name change. You and I get a name change. Actually, when we receive Jesus, we have a new identity. The new me, all right? Okay? So turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to camp out there for quite a bit, so hang in there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So you get a new identity, and it starts on the inside. It works its way on the outside. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. That word in is location in the Greek. So it goes like this. All of us, we are located in Christ if you've received Jesus. So where are you located? In Christ. That's where I am. I'm located in Christ, all right? Now, if you haven't received Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be located and found in him later on, okay? But 2 Corinthians 5:17, let's keep reading. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I love this. I love this. I love this. New creature means a species of being that never existed before. You know, I always crack up when you go on the news and they're like, oh, we found this new creature underneath the deep, 7,000 feet deep, and it's really ugly looking. We found a new species, okay? But listen, you are brand new, and you're not ugly looking. You are brand new in Christ. You are a new species. Hi, God, look at you, and I make me laugh. All right, so the interesting part, you know, some of you wished the day you received Jesus, the day you became new, that this part changed. If you had no hair, you wished you had hair, okay? But nothing changed on the outside when you were located in Jesus. It happened on the inside, and it starts working its way on the outside. Amen? So you are a new person on the inside, a new person on the inside. And this is what God wants. He's like up in heaven. This is what I want. What's on the inside to start working its way on the outside. That's what God wants for you, okay? So that he has now given you a new destiny, a new direction. How about this? You are going in a good place, all right? Because we're going to now live out of this new place. And it's just going to change your life. How many of you could say your life has changed? My life, I am not who I used to be. Some of you should go, thank you, Jesus, okay? Because what's on the inside has been working its way, and it's still working its way. It's still working on its way, all right. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The Greek says brand new, all right? I like brand new. Anybody like brand new? Brand new house, brand new car, brand new shoes. I like brand new, all right? So, and I wish when I received Jesus, you know, if I had crooked teeth, they became straight, but it didn't happen on the outside. Brand new's on the inside, and it's working its way on the outside, all right? There's an inward change, all righty. So, how do you get introduced? Now, how do you get introduced to this new on the inside? Never changes, okay? Okay? It comes to the Word of God. Now listen to what Paul says in verse 18. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God. And the goofy part is religion takes that all things are of God and they say, oh, you're sick. It's of God. You had a car accident. It's of God. That's what religion twists that. And the thing is, you got to read this in context. You know, read up a couple scriptures, read down, okay? And in context, it says, the new me, the new man, who I am, that's all of God. Everybody say, I'm all of God. I'm all of God. I'm all good. Okay, so the rest of it says, now all things are of God and who has reconciled. If you brought your Bible today, get something to underline. I challenge you, underline how many times you're going to see that word reconciled or reconciliation in just three verses. It's incredible, okay? Now, did you know that word reconcile is actually a mathematical term? How many of you raise your hand, because have a checkbook. How many of you raise your hand if you used to reconcile your checkbook? How many would try to do it every month? And then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm off 4 cents, okay? Just, you know, go buggies, okay? So this word is really, it has that connotation, but it's about reconciling us back to him. And I'll tell you more in a minute, all right? So let's read verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, okay? Everybody look at me. You all have a ministry. All of us. Everybody say, I have a ministry.
I have a ministry.
It's not just me. You have a ministry, okay? And the ministry, it says here, is before preaching ministry, before such and such ministry. The ministry y'all have first and foremost forever is to ministry of reconciliation, all right? So I think we better figure out what that word is. And Paul does a really good job explaining it, all right? So let's read verse 19. The ministry of reconciliation. This is what it means. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, not holding their sins against them, all right? And has committed to us, raise your hand, it's you all, us, it's me, has committed to us the word of reconciliation, okay? So God gave you a ministry. Everybody say, I have a ministry. And the ministry is the ministry about telling people the good news. And the good news, what do they say? The good news is too good to be true. The good news is God loves people. God loves you. He sent his son, died for you. He's opened the door for you to be a part of his family. That's the good news. So what you have a ministry of reconciliation. Okay, and it's not me. It's not just me. Oh, that's the evangelist. No, me, you, us, we have a ministry, okay? So verse 20, let's keep reading. And now, since you have that ministry, everybody say, I have a ministry. Now that you have your ministry, okay, then we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, you all probably know this, but we have ambassadors in America to other countries. And in those countries, they have an embassy. Okay, over there, okay? So we have We have an ambassador to France, and there's an embassy, a U.S. embassy in France, because we have an ambassador over there. And let's say I get myself in trouble, okay? But you know what I can do? I start running to the embassy, and as soon as I get through those doors, safe, nothing can happen to me because I am actually on U.S. soil, even though I'm in France, okay? And they can't get me, right? Y'all know that? If you watch movies, you know that. It's like the famous chase scene, right? Okay. Praise God. Okay. Now listen. So we have ambassadors from America to other countries, and they have embassies. Guess what? You are an ambassador from heaven while your feet are still planted on this earth. So everybody say, I'm an ambassador from heaven to this earth. Amen. All right. I like that. Praise God. Okay. So, I just have to say this. While you're living on this earth, this earth should not be influencing you so much that people can't tell you're an ambassador. All right? Anyway, moving on. Good preaching, Pastor D. Verse 20 again. Let's read that again. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled from God. All right. Anybody count how many times that word reconciled or reconciliation was written, said, spoken? Just in case you didn't get the answer. Five times. Five times in three verses, all right? So what does that word reconciliation and reconcile mean? I'm so glad you asked me. Let me tell you. Ready? If you're taking notes, jot it down. To restore something. To restore something. Anybody ever restore old furniture? Old cars, to restore something. Only thing, this place, it's talking about people, okay? So it goes like this, to restore people back to unity and harmony with God. Okay, so once we were enemies of God, we were alienated from God, we were from God, okay? But now we have been brought back into a relationship with God through Jesus, all right? So you probably know this, but the world we're living on right now, did you know that most of them don't know Jesus? What? Yeah, okay. And you might not know this, but America but Pastor D, you know, America's a Christian nation. Well, it was a Christian nation. And yeah, there's a lot of churches and there's a lot of believers. But listen, in the last 30 years, the numbers of people that are truly Christians have gone down and down and down. So you are an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. And how about this? We are missionaries to the United States. And I heard this probably 20 years ago. Foreign countries are sending, Christians in other countries are sending their missionaries here. And where we used to send them there, okay? Because, listen, so again, be nice, Pastor D, be nice, okay, ready? All right. Our mission field today is America. Our mission field as the church, you're the church, is America, all right? America needs Jesus. And you have a ministry. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And listen, be praying and focusing for our colleges and our students there. I tell you what, they're being told just the opposite of what God says about them. Okay, so our mission, the United States. Okay. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. I got a couple more. Don't look at the clock. All right. But y'all know this, but one day Jesus is going to church because it's Sunday. All right, he's a good boy. Goes through. No, but really, one day Jesus is in the temple, and you can find it. Just write down Luke chapter 4. Read it later. But Jesus is going to church, and he goes into church, and he gets up, and he starts reading, not the New Testament, because it hadn't been written yet. He starts reading out of the Old Testament, right? And he starts reading a very particular scripture. He starts reading in Isaiah 61. Just write that down. And he says this. So he opens up the book, not this book, but they. And he finds this, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me." And he goes on and he names all these other things, okay? So he's reading the scripture one day, all right? And he stands up and he reads that day and he stands up and then he closes the book and he says, "This day the scripture has been fulfilled in your ears." Man, he's got people's attention. They're like, all right? So he gets up and he closes and he says, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in yours." And you know what he's saying? I'm the guy that Isaiah was talking about. And you know what he's also saying? I found myself in the scripture. Some of you are looking at me like a dog to a new pan. Okay, here's what I mean. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus grew in wisdom, in knowledge, and in stature, and favor with God. Anybody ever hear that before? All right. Jesus grew. Jesus grew. So listen, this little baby, God the Son, comes to earth as a baby. He didn't know I'm the Son of God. He didn't know when he was 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. But listen, he found himself in the scriptures. And he said, "This day that's been fulfilled, I am that guy." And half of them were like, "Yay!" And the other half are like, okay. So maybe we have to grow in finding ourselves in the scriptures. So don't beat yourself up. Man, compared to what everybody else, I'm just so, okay, you know, I should have been, okay, listen, there's a growing to this, all right? So just chill, just relax, okay? But Jesus, okay, he found himself when he's reading the scriptures, Isaiah 61, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, is anointed me, and today this scripture is fulfilled." Bing! Okay, so how do you and I do the same thing? How do you find yourself? Okay, you find yourself, okay? You find yourself in the scriptures. Now, it's not automatic. It is not automatic. Oh my gosh, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm blood washed, I'm the redeemed, I'm the righteous. It's not just bing, okay? It's not like that, alrighty? So, you have to find yourself. So how do you find yourself? Well, you're going to get into the Word of God. You're going to come to church because Pastor D is going to preach. You're going to go to a group because you're going to hear about who you are, okay? Yeah. Okay, so how do you do that? You know, it's really interesting. I said in the beginning, the culture says, just live your truth. Oh, I'm going to be like this. I'm just going to live all this, okay? The problem is, maybe the truth that you think is truth is not a truth. It's just a bunch of baloney. And there's a lot of culture saying a bunch of baloney, and they don't know the truth, okay? So this is where you're going to find the truth, all righty? So, you know, I'm just going to live my truth. I love this one. I'm just going to be who I think I'm going to be. I'm going to be who I want to be. And I hear parents do this. Please, I love you. Son and daughter, you can be whoever you want to be when you grow up. If you're a believer, you can't. You can muff it up and do it. But listen, how about you accept Jesus and you be what God wants you to be? And I will tell you, you know, who you are, who God wants you to be is better than anything the world's got out there. And okay, got to change the name, protect the innocent. So I have a dear friend and her daughter, they were Pentecostal preachers, and their daughter grew up in church, okay? And then she went to be somebody famous, and she was born again, spirit-filled, Pentecostal tongue talker, okay? And she was surrounded in the world. This kid grew up surrounded in the world because, you know, the world was telling her who she can be. And she has turned a left turn. Okay? You got to be who God wants you to be, because that is a sweet place. That is the best place, I'm telling you, okay? So how do you find your identity? How do I find out the new me? Okay? I'm going to give you three things, and then we're going to wrap up, all right? How do you find out who I am? How do you find out? This deals with identity. So, BJ, can we just pop up? BJ, I love BJ. Wave, everybody, look at her. She's so, okay, okay. Can you just do the I am? If not, have fun. So I gave a whole bunch of scriptures about your identity. And so this is who I am. Everybody say, I am. This is who I am. Ready? I am free. I am valuable to God. I am God's masterpiece. Sorry if I go too fast, but you can get them later. Or you can take a picture here. Okay? I am free. I am valuable to God. I am God's masterpiece. I am strong in Him. I am forgiven. I am healed. I am full of faith. I am a child of God. Woo! Y'all should be going hallelujah. Be excited. All right? That is the new you. Okay? Praise God. And the one we talked about last week, I am God's masterpiece, meaning His workmanship, meaning you are valuable and precious. That's who I am. That's who you are. Praise God. Okay, so how do you find out your new identity? Go dig up all these I ams. The other one I want you to look at is I have. Everybody say, I have. I have has to deal with what you possess now in God. Okay, here we go. Okay, I have been made righteous. I have right standing with God. We'll talk more about that later, next week. I have the Holy Spirit. I have mercy. I have God's grace. Okay, that's just a few because I blew you out of the water on the first bunch, okay? But here's what I want you to know. The day you received Jesus Christ, He did something on the inside, and it's working its way on the outside. But what He did on the inside, He made your spirit alive, and your spirit now is alive with God, okay? You actually have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you now, okay? Praise God. And you listen, you may have come from different churches, and you're like, oh, I don't want to hear about that. That gets really strange, okay? Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not strange. He is not weird. The people are, okay? How many of you have seen some weird? No, don't raise your hand. Don't answer that. Okay, moving on. So we need the Holy Spirit. And when I lack boldness, because that's part of what the Holy Spirit gives, He gives me this boldness. When I lack knowledge, especially the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will give me knowledge, okay? And the Holy Spirit is called the comforter, the helper, the standby, just amazing, okay? So, praise God. So, oh, but I'm so lonely. No, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And Jack used to say, you got a minivan full. How could you be lonely? Come on. I have, all right? So, guys, the days we're living and what's going on in this planet, you need God and you need the Holy Spirit. You do, okay? And we need to be bold and walking in love and bold and telling people. So we need God and we need the Holy Spirit. All right, so close up. How do I do this? Oh, this last one, okay. So what do I do now? Let me see. How do I now do in Christ? How do I now live out this life? How do I do it? All right, so I live. Everybody say, I live. There we go. I live. I live the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. So, you know, some people live a follower of Jesus Christ on Sunday. And then how about we live the follower of Jesus Christ every single day? Oh, God, it's Monday. How about you live a follower of Jesus Christ Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the time, okay? Because I live the life of a follower. Here's my second one. I live as salt and light. Salt and light. Okay, the Bible says salt. It is reference to what you say. Okay? Paul said I better read this in. Let your speech be as salt. Okay. Jesus said, if you lose your salt, you're good for nothing. I don't want to be good for nothing. Okay? So how about what I say and what I live reflects Him? Because what happens, we have a word for people that talk the talk but don't live the talk. They say this, so they're saying this, and then they go live. What do we call those people? Hypocrites, okay? We ought not to be that. So, and listen, we're not perfect, okay? But how about we say we're the salt and we live it, amen. Okay, here's my the next two are awesome. Here we go. I live Spirit-led. I live Spirit-led. None of us are perfect. I will not be perfect until I get up into heaven, okay? okay? We're not perfect. But how about you let the Spirit lead you? Like, you're ready to make some big decisions in your life. And how about you pull back, whoa, and pray, and then listen to the Holy Spirit? All right? Yeah, just saying that. Listen to what he says, and you'll hear it on the inside. Amen. Because I'm a big one. Let's just move it. Come on. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, we should pray first. Okay, so pull back, listen to him. Here's my last one. Live Spirit-filled. Live Spirit-filled, okay? Now, I'm not going to get onto that. If you want to know more about that, I'll have some people up front. We'll talk about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? But guys, I believe in the times that we're living in. Jesus, you talk to anybody who's anybody on the planet right now, believers, they're saying we're living in the end of the end days. Anybody hear that? We're living in the last of the last days. There's still a lot to do, so don't go check out on me, okay? But how about you need to be Spirit-filled? So you can live the last days, okay? And all right, praise God. Paul said, I want to be found in him. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the guy that had an amazing relationship with the Lord Jesus. He actually saw him and just wild stuff, okay? He said, I want to be found in him. All right, not anything else. So, guys, the younger that I get, I want to be found in him. I want to be found living for him. I want to be found speaking for him. I want to be found in him. Amen. All right, and there's always more to know. There's always. Oh, I love little kids. They just crack me up. Pastor D, I read my Bible once. I was like, oh, honey, keep going, okay. Because, listen, there's always more. He will reveal more. You know how many times you read this one part in the scripture, one day you wake up like, oh, my gosh, I didn't see that, okay. So, listen, the new you is amazing. The new you is amazing. And when you know the new you, it will change your life. And when it really changes your life, you will be changing other people's lives. Amen? Because you'll be an influencer. Okay, let's pray here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, and through him we can become new. I thank you that you have made us new creatures, brand new, full of your life, full of your ability, full of your power, full of your wisdom. Thank you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue to reveal who I am, how I live, and what I do for everybody here in this place. And you know, right now you could just say, God, just reveal this to me. You know, every time you read your Bible, that's a good time to say, Lord, as I read your word to me, reveal who I am again. Reveal what I have again. Reveal what you have for me to do again. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, that you are working in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one more thing. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you're like, I don't have a relationship. I don't know what you're talking about, the new me. Well, I want to tell you, God has made a way that you can have a new me. And he did it so simply. He said, he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins, for the sins of the world, for my sins, your sins. And he said, any man that will call on the name of Jesus and ask him to come into life, he would receive them and make you new. And you would be forever a child of Father God, a child of God, amen. So if you're here today and you would like to be introduced to Jesus, I would love to introduce you, all right? And it's quite simple, but you have to mean it from your heart. And what I'd like you to do is to pray this prayer just after me. And there's a bunch of y'all that already have done that. So we're going to pray this out loud together, all right? So everybody just simply say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus for me and the world. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins and making a way that I can be with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay. Amen. And Jesus, right now, I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart, and change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, a miracle took place. You are changed on the inside, all right? And it's a journey the rest of your life, and it's a fun one because there's a bunch of fun people that will get alongside you and help you on the fun journey, all right? So, hey, we love you, but if you prayed that for the first time, would you please come up? I have some material for you. If you want to come up and learn more about the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, come on up. Other than that, it is an awesome day. We are sending kids to camp to have an experience with Jesus. Amen. Praise God. See y'all next week. Bring friends. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there in the foyer. Amen. And don't forget, I have that the Who I Am sheet in the back. You can take a picture or take it home. We love you. Praise God.